Love God, loving God amid idolatrous times. And our lesson texts, we'll just read those, are pretty good. Psalm 135 and verses 15 through 18. Derek, you mind reading those? You got that? I catch you off guard? I'm really good at that, ask you partly. Especially if he hasn't had his coffee yet. I love asking him questions in Bible study. Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18, please, yes, sir. And Jordan, can you get 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4? And so glad Sister Glover's back in church. Now, amen. Praise God. Amen. And all of you, amen. And Brother Abbott, of course, and everybody's, I could go off naming names this morning, right? But, boy, a lot of people sick last couple weeks. But so good to see Sister Glover. Sister Glover, you mind reading a verse this morning? Can I pick on you a little bit? All right. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And this is supposed to be our lesson text. Focus verses. I'll just read our focus verse real quickly here. Looks like we're going to read it in just a moment anyways. Jordan, here is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we could ask the question, what does that have to do with idols? And of course, I think, looking out amongst the audience here today, we know that idols more than just a carved statue or some kind of object, but maybe personality and self and these types of characteristics here that are focus verse mentions that in the last days, traitors, heady, high-minded lovers. We'll talk about that some more here in a little bit. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. High-minded, traitors, heady. All right, lesson text. Psalm 135, verse 15 through 18. Brother Derek.
The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them.
All right. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors,
and Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Sister Gordon.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Amen. Amen. A verse, a couple of verses that, if you want to turn there with me, that's fine. Jeremiah chapter 29. I think I'll even turn there, and I don't have it turned there and myself, but Jeremiah chapter 29, and of course verse 11 is a very familiar verse that most of us are familiar with, I think, of course. And you may be familiar with the ones just further on down, but the couple of verses down from verse 11 is the one that I'm really after. When I read this verse here, Mark chapter 12, verse 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And again, the title of our lesson is Loving God Amid Idolatrous Times. But Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Amen? "To give you an expected end," or as some translations say, an expected hope, an expected end. Amen. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Amen. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." Verse 12 goes on to say, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me." That's a promise. "You shall. When you shall search for me with all your heart." And these last few words in verse 13 just really got me here. "When you shall search for me with all your heart." Because I think sometimes we're probably even been perhaps guilty. We've been serving the Lord maybe at some time, and you know, it's maybe some of you haven't, and thank God for that. Amen. But but Christians, and sometimes we can sort of just, you know, read that, "Search for God with all your heart," and we can take maybe approaching God and seeking God sort of with a real casual, nonchalant, lackadaisical attitude and spirit. Amen. Because it takes searching God with all your heart. And I mean, where would we be today if, you know, thank God that his anger endureth, but only for a moment. Amen. And, you know, also reading in Psalms, I'm sorry, I'm going to do that to you. And you know, I read in a psalm yesterday, David said, you know, and we have to read this and take this with some balance, I understand, but he said, even man at his greatest, you know, with his, you know, if he's running on all 8 cylinders or 10 cylinders, whatever you might be, even man with all of his greater, of course, he's just in that psalm, I remember he's talking about just that the horse is a vain thing and man is not saved by, but even man at his greatest potential, you know, that it's that, you know, it's vanity. Amen. And not that we shouldn't try. Amen. No. I'm not saying that. I'm not giving an excuse for, you know, it's, you know, okay just to be lazy all the time. And but, you know, again, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And, you know, bless God this morning. I mean, there are probably just times we sometimes don't give 110%. And, you know, we're not, and it's good that we're not, you know, we're not comfortable with that. Amen. That we're, you know, it's good that we examine ourselves and say, "Hey, Brother Hall, how much are you giving to the Lord? Are you searching God with all your heart?" And we want to grow, and we need to grow. Amen. Scripture talks about adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Add to your faith. Because he says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you are neither barren, and that you won't fall away." And the person that doesn't do this, doesn't add these things, and I'm sorry, I know these scriptures just go through my mind. I don't give chapters and verses. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. But, amen, he said, "You shall never fall if you do these things." He shall never fall. And if the man, the person who is not doing this, adding to their faith virtue, and virtue knowledge and temperance and patience and brotherly kindness and charity and godliness, if he's not doing that, he's forgetting that he was purged from his old sins. Amen. He's, you know, so we need to grow and excel and again. But how important, and it takes me so long to get to where I'm trying to go sometimes. You just have to hang in there. And I'm going somewhere, though. I'm not just rambling, really. Sometimes I am, though. My wife will testify to that. But I'm going somewhere. Trust me. Amen. I have prayed. Amen. I've been studying this lesson. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Amen. When you shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. When you search for me with all your heart. Amen. Our God is a jealous God. Amen. And of course, we sometimes our definition of the word jealous can be a little different than what God's idea is. But he's a jealous God. Amen. Only he's going to sit on the throne. Amen. Of our lives. And when you search for me with all your heart, then he will be found. Amen. And he will be found. Amen. If we search for him with all of our heart. And I wanted to point out something here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 again. He talks about that in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we might could say, well, what's, you know, so wrong with loving your own self? And I think, you know, maybe we need to love ourselves to some degree. And, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says we are the apple of his eye. Amen. We were made in his image. We were made in the image of God. Amen. However, this morning I know I have the potential for evil today. I know I'm not supposed to be. We're buried with him in baptism. The old man is buried. Amen. But I need a Savior. Amen. I need a Savior. Amen. To save me from my own wickedness. Amen. Righteousness only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Through faith in Jesus Christ. Putting on that breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Is it in your lesson, your booklet here, Who Do You Love? There's a little thing here. Thought maybe I might read this. I thought this was good. Who Do You Love? It's from a song. Gary Erickson here put this in here. He said, U.S. Vice President Joe Biden defended the recognition of homosexual union as marriage during the 2012 presidential campaign with this question, Who Do You Love? This is a title of a rock and roll song. I don't recognize this singer here. Brother Abbott probably does. But listen to this. Gary here, he says, that pleasant-sounding question was parroted frequently in the media in defense of the social and cultural anomaly. By interjecting love into the debate, he made another destructive furrow in the eroding moral foundation of America. Even in these days of deteriorating moral commitments, people still have respect for the power of love. Incorporating love into the debate was a clever trick used to confuse people who lack a good moral footing. And I like this last half of this paragraph here. Affection itself is not pure or virtuous. We can love the wrong things. Our love for them does not make them or us pure. If our love for something or someone causes us to break God's law, it is not wholesome. For most of us, this is an obvious truth. But today, many people are confused. Having a love for God and His Word are the only things that can save us from the crosswinds of postmodern confusion. When you search for me with all your heart, amen, then I shall be found. Perverted affections and false philosophies can appear virtuous to an unsanctified heart. This reminds us why Jesus emphasized the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I tell you, with only just for being in the church for coming up on, I think, 26 years, I tell you, this is something I am continually still working on. I think it ought to be something that you're continually still working on. Lord, I want to love you. I don't know about you, but you know, I challenge myself. Lord, I want to love you. What is love? Amen. I want to love you. What does that mean? To love the Lord with all of my mind, soul, strength, and heart. And again, sometimes I think we have bad days, you know, if you want to call it that. Just being real with you for just a moment. With you, because I'm looking out among my audience here today. Been in the church a little while, most of you, I think. And amen. But it's, again, as he says here, it's the only thing that's going to help us to overcome. Amen. And there's a lot of spirits out there. He says in the last days also, we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, but that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we know that there's going to be a great falling away of the church in the end time, because people had not a love for the truth. And I want to love the truth. You want to love the truth. I want to love doctrine, and the truth of doctrine. But I want to love Him who is truth and who gave truth. The person of Jesus Christ. The one who saved my soul. Amen. Who took away my sins. Delivered me from my sins. And continues to do so every day. Amen. That keeps me and that gives me hope. Amen. Of after this life, there's a better life. Praise God. You know how it is. You become a Christian and you get saved, and the devil comes around, doesn't he? Amen. In the world. And I was doing a little study on Scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I kind of revised that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against doubt and fear and unbelief. And seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and amen. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. This is the victory that even overcometh the world. Even our faith. Amen. Praise God. God is able. God is able. In the beginning of this lesson today, talking about contemplating the topic, it says here, there is in every person a need to worship. It is an innate desire placed there by the Creator. Over the centuries, humans have responded to this need by worshiping either God or an idol, the true God or a false God. Sadly, in our day, idolatry often involves not only the worship of false gods, but also the elevation of material possessions. Jesus gave that parable of the seed and the sower, that the word would be choked because the cares of this world Amen. The cares of this world. Just going to pause there for just a moment. And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter in so that the word becomes unfruitful. This is another challenge, amen? But also the elevation of material possessions. Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Amen? Let him be rich toward God. Let a man be rich towards God. Store your treasures in heaven. Amen. This world, the Lord has called us to a better place. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Righteousness, basic definition, means right acts. Amen. Where right acts. Amen. No more gossiping. Amen. Backstabbing. Amen. Won't that be nice? Those things hurt, don't they? Praise God. I know we can get the victory over that and give our cares to the Lord, but man, sometimes, you know, I've gone home and, you know, had my little pity party and, you know, had to deal with that hurt because, you know what? You know, we're human. Amen. We have feelings. And we have to give them to the Lord, and He's able to take them away and heal us. Praise God. But looking forward, amen, to that day. Amen. And that's what He's, you know, came to save us for. Amen. He still reigns on the just and the unjust. Amen. Praise God. Jesus said, amen, my angels would fight, amen, if this kingdom were my world, but it's not. Amen. This is not the real world. Amen. New heaven and a new earth. Prepared, adorned for her bride. When John saw that new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. Praise God. And there's going to be no more death. No more sorrow. No more sickness. No more pain, brother. You come to pray for the Holy Ghost again today? Or did you already get it last night in the shower or something? Do we need to pray for you for the Holy Ghost today again? All right, we're going to do that just a little while. Amen. No more sickness, no more pain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This lesson is in no way going anything like that's all right. The word amid in the title of this lesson, because you're going to see that word a lot for the next couple of months, this quarter, in the title of this lesson, not only defines the location of our love, but it underscores our involvement in life with all its cultural challenges. I mean, let's just be real. Let's just be honest. It's a challenge sometimes. But again, that secret is loving the Lord with all of our mind, soul, strength, and heart. Amen. Praise God. Getting up the next day, brother or sister, if you fell. And doing it again. Doing it again. Amen. But it's not going to happen. I think we read that verse again and it's just looked at so passively. So passively. Amen. But we all know, I think, every one of us here has experienced the joy of when we love the Lord with all of our mind, soul, strength, and heart. Yes. Oh, there's no greater joy. Amen. Joy unspeakable. Amen. Beyond word comprehension. Amen. The peace of God. Amen. There's no greater place. No amount of money in all the world can take that away. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The devil says, I'll give you all of this in exchange for that. Oh, no, devil. Oh, no way. I don't want it. It just cannot fill that void and that emptiness of my soul like the love of God. Amen. Praise God. When I'm, amen, doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. Worshiping my Creator, the one who created me to worship Him for His pleasure. When I'm doing that which is right and pleasing to the Lord, praise God. Hallelujah. There's nothing more fulfilling and satisfying, praise God. And it's the key to overcoming idols and this cultural challenge in our day and age. Amen. We are caught in the middle of everything that comprises the last days. Yet while we are in the midst of evil surroundings, God's goodness is in our midst. For He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. If we have God in our midst, it will not be difficult to love Him and be faithful to Him in the midst of idolatrous times. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 14 and 15 illustrates the solution to being surrounded by the enemy. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. When surrounded by evil, we should shout our praises unto God, trusting for His deliverance. Next paragraph, which just about already all covered here in this next lesson, we will study idolatry and its byproducts. We will observe how idolatry produces love for self and hatred for God's order. Further, we will study idolatry's antidote, the love of God, which is the greatest commandment, power, motivation, and privilege. Of course, we're going to have to skip a lot of that. End times attitude, idolatry. Unfortunately, this age exhibits an attitude of idolatry. Idolatry that appears in the form of humanism, which focuses on and worships humankind and their achievements. Isn't that the truth? Amen. Let's go to Roman numeral 1, A, love for self. Idolatry produces the wrong kind of self-love, for when God is not the object of our love and devotion, the discipline of righteousness is absent. With the absence of righteousness, there is no deterrent from the evil inclinations of the carnal nature. The flesh seeks attention, and it results in self-love. When God is dethroned in a person's life, the throne does not stay vacant long. Pride sees that the throne is filled with self-interest. When a person crowns himself as king in his own life, pride, ego, and selfishness quickly assume power. Love for self caused the original sin. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Genesis 3 and 6. Human pride is the motivation behind all sin. Every individual must choose between living to gratify his ego or to glorify the eternal sovereign. To please God, selflessness must replace selfishness. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Self-denial, not self-love, is the key to unlocking spiritual victory. Now, I hope y'all don't have as much of a hard time as I do about that, but just this pride in this old man, it wants to live, doesn't it? Amen. But now we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the power Amen. Praise God. And living in such a, and I know it's been since the beginning, but just all around us is just, it's all about self, isn't it? I mean, just thinking about themselves and just, you know, pleasure, living a pleasure, seeking society and generation and time and culture. And we have to deny ourselves. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just not easy. Amen. To lay down my life and say, Lord, what is your will? Amen. To love my enemy. To pray for those who despitefully use me. That's not me. Amen. But I do want to practice that. I do want to be like that. Amen. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Because as Jesus, He said, I do always those things that please my Father. He sought to please His Heavenly Father. Amen. And I want to please Him because I owe Jesus my life. Amen. We owe Jesus our lives. We had no life before Him. Amen. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. We were on our way to hell. Amen. We were lost. Amen. But He gave us a life. Amen. He gave us direction. He gave us purpose. Something to hope for. Amen. Something to work for. Amen. And gave us tools. Amen. To be able to help other people. We have something now that really can help people. And it didn't come from us. I mean, we don't glorify ourselves, pat ourselves on the back. But, amen. We know what people need. Amen. We have the answer. Amen. For their soul. We don't have all the answers. I understand that. Amen. But praise God, we have the answer to their dilemma. Amen. Praise God. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the antidote, amen, against idolatry. Paul wrote of this self-love that will be prevalent in the end times. Let's skip some of that. We read all that. Be hate for God's order. Of course, we know there's a hate for God's order, self, and pride, and people hate God's order, and there is an order. In the beginning, God stated plainly His order for humankind, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. As recorded in the same chapter, he added, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There was some order. There was some order given. Unfortunately, the serpent drew mankind's attention away from God's order by questioning it. God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent replied, ye shall not surely die. This disrespect for God's order eventually manifested itself as outright hatred for God's order. When self replaces God on the throne of one's life, hatred for God and His order soon follows. We cannot love God and self at the same time. There is room for only one God, one Master, on the throne of the human heart. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Although God has made it clear sin is wrong, carnal individuals hate His commandments, which limit them and prevent their fulfillment of all evil desires. Isn't that what it comes, you know, people get frustrated, they're aggravated because, you know, they can't have their way. You know. Praise God. Sometimes we do too. And that's why we need to pray. God, you know, if I can do this, if it's all right, if it be thy will, you know, allow me to be able to do this and be able to do this. And not if it's a sin, of course. I'm talking about maybe something that's just a pleasure, but it's not a sinful pleasure. I mean, you know, I mean, I can't say that I can, you know, justify roller coastering, you know, and like to go on roller coasters as, you know, saying that it's maybe godly or, you know, but it's just a pleasure. Well, we're talking about people who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Amen. And that, you know, I think it's all right to go fishing now and then. Amen. But there's got to be some balance too. Amen. I see some people play all the time. Like, man, you know, I ask myself, you know, what have you done? Are you glorifying God though? You know, you're talking to people. Have you given your testimony to anyone about the Lord and how He can save their soul? Or, you know, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you know, we get frustrated sometimes and aggravated because we want to do things. And I thank God sometimes in King Salmon a couple times, man, it didn't fall my lot that someone gave me $1 million or something. Lord, that might be trouble for me. That might be destructive. That might take me away from you. You know, or take me away from King Salmon. I think I'll just travel the world right now. I mean, ask yourself, what if you had $1 billion right now? You're going to be faithful to the Lord? Because you can't acquire, you can't grow in love in God, in the fruit of the Spirit. You can't buy it. You can't bypass growing in the Lord and becoming a vessel for the Lord with money. It just comes through praying. Amen. Life, applying the Word of God. Can't serve two masters, God or mammon. Money. God needs to be on the throne. Amen. And it's the antidote. In these end times with idolatry that's so prevalent in our time. And I asked Brother Glover to help me find a scripture right before Sunday school here. I thought, because I just thought of it on the way here, but it's where they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the Temple of Dagon. And that idol fell over. Amen. There's no room for both here. Amen. And I know it takes continual working at. Amen. And somehow, you know, sometimes some way that self just seems to keep creeping back in, doesn't it? Amen. And idols, it's just everywhere we go. And we're around people at work and just people in the world. There's just that spirit in the world, isn't there? Amen. The scriptures encourage us, love not the world, the world's system, neither things that are in the world. Fashion of this world shall pass away, but he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Be on the throne of our heart, Lord God, today. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We're here today because we love you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Cast down and cast out all idols in our heart and in our life today, God. Help us, Lord God, to learn to know what it is to deny ourselves, to love you with all of our mind, soul, strength, and heart, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, does anybody feel like Paul sometimes? Amen, I've not attained. Amen. But the key is pressing on, though. Amen. forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward. And I believe that's what you're doing by being here this morning. You're saying, hey, I'm here, Lord, because I want to reach out. Amen. And I'm not giving up. Praise God.